All right. Well, what is going on, Wake? Hey, if we haven't had the chance to meet already, my name is Cole, and I have the pleasure of serving with the incoming seventh grade Covenant boys. What's up? I see y'all back there. Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. And so, hey, before we dive into God's word today, man, I need you guys to have a little bit better understanding of who I was when I was in middle school. And so, if there's one thing that's really important for you to know about middle school Cole, it's that he loved sneakers. I mean, let me just tell you something, guys. All throughout middle school and high school, I started this collection. And by the end of it, man, I had like over 50 pairs. And I wear like maybe three of them today. So, you know, it is what it is. But hey, all of that started for me when I was in eighth grade. And I got my first pair of Air Jordans. I'm actually wearing them today, so there you go. That's right, they still fit, that's right. I know, I stopped growing early, so, you know, eighth graders, watch out. But hey, I'm just kidding. But anyways, I got these for Christmas, and I pulled them out of the box, and the first thing that came to my head was, man, I am so excited to wear these shoes. When I get back to school, I'm so excited to show them off to all my friends. I know they're gonna think I'm so cool now that I got these new Air Jordans. And so, man, when we got back from winter break, showed up the first day wearing the shoes, and there was just something different about me. Like, I was strutting around the halls, you know, I was being super outgoing, I was talking to people I wouldn't normally talk to, and I just had this confidence about me that was absolutely unmistakable. I mean, you didn't even have to talk to me to know, hey, there's something different about Cole today. And man, I just had this confidence and the swagger. And I don't know what gives you confidence. Maybe it's your grades. Maybe it's your performance in your sport. Maybe it's your boyfriend or your girlfriend. But I know that we all have something that when we're wearing it or we have it, man, we just feel that unmistakable confidence. And I share that with you because, you know, my new shoes gave me confidence before my friends and my classmates. But we as followers of Jesus can have an unmistakable confidence before God that our sins are forgiven and that God wants a relationship with us. And let me tell you guys, this is so much more important than any sort of worldly confidence that we can have. And so today we're going to be reading Psalm 32. And there are a couple points that I want us to really pull out of this text. First, we are blessed when our sins are forgiven. And second, life without confession is like death. Third, confession brings life. And four, forgiveness of sin means a relationship with God. So we're gonna go ahead and dive into Psalm 32, starting in verse 1, where it says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." And so before we even get to breaking down this text, you know, David uses the word blessed twice here in these first two verses. And I think it's really important for us to all have a solid understanding of what that word means. I know it's a word that gets thrown around in church quite a bit. And so before we even get started, I just want to give us a solid definition of the word blessed. And so it's this: an inner state of joy that is unaffected by external trials. An inner state of joy that is unaffected by external trials. You see, that joy is a part of who you are. It's not based on your circumstances. It's not based on what's going on in your life. When you're blessed, you have this joy as a part of your identity. And so I want to zoom back in on verse 2 here, where it says, "Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them," and listen to this, "and in whose spirit there is no deceit." You see, true forgiveness and the joy that it brings is unmistakably genuine. Like, you cannot fake it. And I think so often we can lie to ourselves and tell ourselves that we don't need God's forgiveness or that we can earn God's forgiveness through doing good things. But ultimately, we will never feel God's blessing. We will never feel that joy that is unaffected by external trials until we trust in Christ alone for the forgiveness of our sins. And so in these first two verses, you know, David is making some pretty bold claims here. Like he's saying, blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven. Like blessed is the one whose sins are covered. Like I just feel him getting fired up in these first two verses. And I think the natural question becomes like, how can David be so sure of this? Like, how can David be sure that this is the only way to this internal joy, right? And I think we see that in these next two verses where it says this, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. And so my second point is this. Life without confession is like death. And so in this moment, we see that David is hiding from God, right? Like he has this sin that he hasn't confessed and it is just eating him up inside. And I think that part of the reason for that is that like so many of you, David was taught about God from a very young age. Like he grew up in, I guess the church at that time, which was the family of God, Israel, and he had been taught about God's character and his mercy and his compassion, but he'd also been taught about his justice, right? He knew that God was right and just to punish sin, and he knew that he was hiding the sin from God. And so in this moment, he felt the weight of the consequence of his sin. And so I think that these two verses are a very practical picture of what it looks like when we're free from the penalty of our sin, but not from the power. You see, David was called a man after God's own heart. David was a righteous man. He had a relationship with God, but in this moment, he's hiding his sin from God, and that is just eating him up inside. He says, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. And, you know, when I was in middle school and high school, I played football, and so over the summers, we would have our two-a-day practices. So I was out there on the field for 5 hours a day out in the heat, and when I was done with practice for the day, man, I would just, like, lay out on the field. I was just dead tired. Like, the sun had just completely sapped my strength, right? And I think that what David is describing here is a similar feeling, but rather than from, like, an external tiredness, man, he's feeling that on the inside. He's feeling his bones wasting away. And so that just gives you a picture of what David's feeling in this moment, because he has this unconfessed sin. He's not free from the power of it, though he might be free from the penalty. And so the question is, like, where does David go from here? Like, what is his response to this feeling? And that leads us into verse 5, where he says this, then I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. My third point is this, confession brings life. And so David's response is to pour out his heart to God. Man, he didn't try to keep anything from God. He didn't try to make excuses for his sin or deny them at all. Like he just completely and humbly owned up to his sin and he confessed it to God. And so in this picture, there's two points of application for two different groups of people in the room. And this is really important. So, hey, if you've tuned out, welcome back. We're right here. We're in point 3, verse 5. And so, hey, two points of application here. And so for us in the room who have a relationship with Jesus, we have to confess our sins to him and to our brothers and sisters in Christ so that we can experience God's healing. You see, James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And so when we do this, like King David, we can be free from the power of our sin, not just the penalty. And then for those of us in the room who don't have a relationship with Jesus, your step of action might not be a confession of sin. It might be a confession of faith. And so Romans 10:9 tells us, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And this is the clearest picture in the Bible of what a confession of faith looks like. You see, when you trust and truly believe that Jesus Christ descended from heaven, lived a perfect life, the life that you and I could never live, a life without sin, was unjustly crucified on the cross, taking on the punishment of your sin and mine, was buried and 3 days later rose from the dead, defeating death. When you trust in that and you let the reality of what Jesus has done inform your life, inform the way that you feel, inform the way that you act and the way that you think, your sins are forgiven just like that in a moment. Every sin you've ever committed and ever will commit, they're forgiven. And man, that is the gospel. That is the reason why we're here. That's the reason why we sing these songs and we sit here and we listen to these messages. It's because that's what Jesus has done for us. He's given us forgiveness of sin. And the reason why this is so great, apart from just like, again, from forgiveness of sins, is my fourth point. And that's this: forgiveness of sin means a relationship with God. And so in verse 7, after David's poured out his heart to God, he says this to the Lord. He says, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." You see, when we confess Jesus as the king of our lives, as the one who has final authority over all of our thoughts and our actions and our emotions, we aren't just forgiven of our sins and just kind of left alone. Like, God doesn't just say, okay, cool, you're forgiven, do your own thing, you're good, just kind of figure it out. No, he invites us into relationship with him. And that's why David can talk about his relationship with God in this way, where he says, "You are my hiding place." Like, David truly trusts that God is his safe place. God is the one who brings him comfort no matter his circumstances. God is the one who gives him refuge when he feels lonely or anxious or sad or whatever he's feeling in that moment. He knows he can turn to God and that God will provide that comfort for him. And he also says this: "You will protect me from trouble." You see, David trusts that his relationship with God, though it may have started at the moment of his confession of faith, he knows that it will continue into eternity. And that's the truth for all of us, friends. Like, when we put our trust in God, he gives us a relationship that's going to last starting now and into forever. And man, David, he just speaks with such confidence about this. I love the way that he just crafts these words, because he just shows how confident he is that his relationship with God is going to continue forever, that he's going to be in heaven with God, that he's going to be in perfect relationship with him in heaven. And so my question to you is, do you have that confidence? Do you feel blessed regardless of your circumstances because you have a relationship with God and you know that you will spend eternity in heaven with him? If not, like, what are you waiting for? Like, I don't know what it is for you. I can talk about some things that it was for me. You know, for me, I loved the things that God hated. Man, I was holding on to my sin because I thought that that was the thing that was going to bring me this joy. And let me just tell you, that's not the truth. That's a lie from Satan, y'all. And you can talk to any one of your leaders and you can just ask them, hey, why did you decide to follow Jesus? And I guarantee you, they will tell you a story of when they chose something other than God to put their trust in, to seek that internal joy, and how that failed them, and how when they turned to God, they received that. And so I just encourage you, if you're questioning anything that I'm saying, talk to your leaders. Ask them for their personal story of how they became a follower of Jesus. And I guarantee you, that's what you're gonna get. And you know, maybe you have that relationship with God, but you're hiding from him because you have some unconfessed sin. And man, I would just invite you to just go to him in prayer. Be honest with him, be open with him. You see, for those of us who are in Christ, God is our perfect and loving Father. And he's not looking to cast you out because of your sin. He's looking to pull you in closer to him. And the truth is, like, no matter where you're at in the room today, no matter if you fall into, you know, the group of people who maybe has a relationship with Jesus or those who don't, like, my biggest thing is he wants to hear from you. Like, he wants to hear from you, whether that's a confession of sin or a confession of faith. And man, he is just right there waiting to draw you into relationship. And so would you trust in him today if you haven't already? And if you have, man, would you just be honest with him about your sin? Would you humbly and completely confess to him and to your brothers and sisters? And would you experience healing? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to just open your word and learn from you, God. Thank you for instructing us in the way we should go. Thank you for instructing us in the way that we can be forgiven of our sin and invited into relationship with you, God. I pray that the truth of your gospel would never just fall lightly on our hearts, but that we would fully comprehend the weight of your sacrifice for us, and also just the immense blessing that relationship with you is. And so would you just bless this time as we go out to small groups? Would you bless this time of discussion with leaders? God, would you just work in our hearts today? It's in Jesus' name, amen.